Hey, everybody, this is Gene Troyer. I'm the lead pastor of Restore Church, and what a pleasure it is to welcome you to our podcast. It's my hope that you will be marked by love and encouraged in your faith and inspired to become all God has created you to be. Now, I invite you to lean in and enjoy the podcast. All right. Well, we have been in Giving It Up, this series this is our fifth week. And as we, we're 2 weeks out from Easter, and so Lent is coming to a close. Lent is often a time where we give things up, and perhaps you have given something up in your life for this season of Lent. But this whole series is about taking it a step further, believing that God's calling us to more, believing that God is asking us to give things up, not just for 40 days, but for forever, for the rest of our lives. So today, I wonder, when I say something like giving up our lives, what does that mean for us? What does it mean for us to give up our lives? A lot of you have kids, and I would venture to guess that you would pretty much give up anything if it meant that your kids would flourish, that your kids would thrive. You will do whatever it takes to make sure that they get launched really well. I know when I look at my grandkids, there's nothing I wouldn't do. Like, there's really, I don't know. I think they could ask me for anything and to do anything. And if it's like something that doesn't harm anybody, I think I would probably do it. There was a time I was on the board at the Boys and Girls Club in Middlebury. I was on the board of directors. And if you dig through social media far enough, you'll find me in a tutu. And I did that for the boys and girls of the club because it was for a fundraiser. Don't go digging now. Just wait, you know, and you'll have to dig far. We'll do anything. We'll give up our lives for the most important people in our lives. This is who we are as followers of Jesus. We're called to give up our lives. See, we often think of life as having a fixed beginning and a fixed end. I mean, this is how we think. We're human beings. But the story of Jesus requires us to reconsider those assumptions and even calls us to embrace like this grander vision that begins right here, right now. This grander vision of eternal life. Many of us have grown up in the church and we have made assumptions about what eternal life means. But I want us to reconsider that eternal life means that we step into that right here, right now, because God calls us to live His way. And His way is the way of eternal life. See, I wonder if you know people who decided to live into this eternity now perspective. Do you know people that live that way? Think about that for a second. Maybe you're one of them. So maybe you could ask yourself, am I miserable or am I thriving? If I have an eternal perspective, if I'm really leaning into that, am I miserable or am I thriving? Is that kind of person loving or hateful? Are they optimistic or cynical? Are they cruel or kind? How would you describe the person that you look at or maybe yourself with that eternal perspective? Do these people live with intention? Do they have this determination to give up their lives for the good of others? I wonder if that's you. Is this you? Or is that who you hope to be? See, the life Jesus exemplified for us, the way that He lived His life, the pattern that He left for us, is, and what He's calling us to, is a life of paradox. A paradox, by definition, is like this seemingly absurd or self-contradictory statement or proposition that when investigated or explained may prove to be well-founded or true. So here are a couple examples of these paradoxes. The more you hate a trait in someone else, guess what? It shows up in your own life, right? That's one we can acknowledge. That's one we know. People who can't be trusted. People who don't trust can't be trusted. The more you try to impress, the less impressed they'll be. More paradoxes. The more you fail, the more likely you are to succeed. The more you learn, the less you know. The less you care about yourself, the less you care about others. Be honest about your faults. The more comfortable you are with vulnerability and not being that great, the more people will think you are great. The more something scares you, the more you should probably do it. The more afraid you are of death, the more difficult it is for you to live fully and enjoy life. You know, I talk to you guys a lot about courage. When I pray at the end of the service, often I find myself praying that we would be courageous as we step out of this place and into the community. Courageous to live the Jesus way, regardless of what it costs us. Because I believe that life shrinks and expands in proportion to one's courage. When we're courageous, that's good. It's really good. When it comes to the paradoxical life of Jesus, Ross Douthat, a New York Times columnist and author of the book Bad Religion, he explains it this way. No figure in history or fiction contains as many paradoxes as the New Testament's Jesus. He's a celibate ascetic who enjoys dining with publicans or tax collectors and changing water into wine at weddings. He's an apocalyptic prophet one moment and a wise ethicist the next. He's a fierce critic of Jewish religious law who insists that he's actually fulfilling rather than subverting it. He preaches a reversal of every social hierarchy while deliberately avoiding explicitly political claims. He disallows divorce, yet consorts with prostitutes while denouncing even lustful thoughts. He makes wild claims about his relationship to God and perhaps his own divinity without displaying any of the usual signs of megalomania or madness. He is egalitarian and patriarchal, gentle and impatient, extraordinarily charitable and extraordinarily strict. He sets impossible standards and then forgives the worst of sinners. He blesses the peacemakers and teaches that he brought the sword of justice. He's superhuman one moment, and the next he's weeping. The life and words of Jesus introduce this paradox of giving up our lives. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, Jesus says, "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." And in Luke 9, he says, "If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." Some translations would say, "You will find it." In 1 John 3, we know that real love, what real love is, because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. So what does it mean for you? As you consider these scriptures, what does it mean for you to give up your life? I know it looks different for each of us, but for all of us, it means acknowledging our own susceptibility to not measuring up, our own vulnerability. It means of laying aside our ego. It means taking the position of preferring the others in our lives. Often this means like we have to address the weaknesses that we have. It's uncomfortable. I know, it's painful. And sometimes it's even shameful. But just as we have strengths and we're happy to claim those strengths, we also have weaknesses that are a part of who we are. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul when he writes to the church in Corinth. He writes this in 2 Corinthians 12. He says, like prior to this, he's talking about this, he calls it a thorn in his flesh, this weakness that he has that he doesn't like. He doesn't like to feel this weakness. And he wants it to go away, and he prays, and he says three different times, "I begged the Lord to take it away." And each time he said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." That's a bit of a paradox, isn't it? So Paul says, "Now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This process of giving up our lives, deciding what are the steps that I need to take, are different for many of us. One of the first monks in ancient Egypt, he was called Anthony of Egypt, he read the story of Jesus and what he said to the rich young ruler when Jesus said, hey, sell everything and then come and follow me and you'll have treasure in heaven. So Anthony reads this and he takes it literally and he gives everything away and goes and lives in the desert. And in one of Martin Luther's sermons, he recounts this story about Anthony of Egypt. He said Anthony was deep in prayer and wanted to know who he was equal to in heaven. He supposed that he had attained some high spiritual status due to his extreme devotion. In the story Luther tells, God reveals to Anthony that he's not the equal of that he's not even the equal of a certain shoemaker in the Egyptian city of Alexandria. So Anthony went to find the shoemaker, and after he finds him, Anthony asks him what he does every day. And the shoemaker replied, you know, I'm a poor citizen who simply does his job. I pray every day that all people be saved, and that I too, a poor, unworthy sinner, may gain eternal life through Christ. That's another paradox. Those that are the greatest among you shall be the least. What Martin Luther demonstrates is that the shoemaker better understood the words of Jesus than the so-called religious expert. See, you and I, we live into this thing of following the way of Jesus, and we live this paradox of trusting a living Savior who died on a cross. Some of us have heard this so much for so long that we lose the awe of that statement. We trust a living Savior who died on a cross. Here's another one. Abundant life is denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following Him. The abundant life is denying myself? That's contrary to what we would typically think would be true. We have a mantra around here that says that marked by love, we're a tribe of humans learning what it means to live the abundant life restored to our true identity in Jesus. I love this because from the outset of Restore Church, we said we're a people that love, we're a people that learn, we are a people that live into the abundant life, and we're a people that are about restoration. Love, learning, living, restoring. This is denying ourselves. This is actually living into the way of Jesus. Denying ourselves, taking up our cross. I know some of us are weary. We are worn out and we're discouraged. Some of us are in a stretch of life that is crazy and exhausting and filled with challenges we don't feel we're up to meeting. I would just say we've all been there. But in times like this, when we have that sense about our life, the abundant life, seems like a figment of our imagination if we don't pull back and go, okay, what is involved in living into this abundant life? Is it a life where we just accept the discouragement? We just accept that life is hard and there's nothing I can do about it. We become people who resist actually living into all that God's called us to be. We've all been there. And I hope this morning that you're encouraged to not stay there. Not stay there, but be encouraged that God is for you and the abundant life is for you. I'm going to turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel was a prophet in the Old Testament. And in this passage, we start out with the Lord took hold of me. So the Lord, some translation would say like he's pointing to a vision. So the Lord took hold of me and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. Those of you that are really struggling this morning. You've had to make hard decisions. You've faced really difficult things this past week. Some of you have heard a negative, really bad health report. I want you to listen to these words. The Lord took hold of me. I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. Do you feel like your bones are dried out and just aching for some nourishment? He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried up. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" "O sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord." I love that. This is what the sovereign Lord says. "Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I spoke this message just as he had told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again." So I spoke the messages he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. I'm going to pause there for a second because some of us are feeling those dead bones in the valley. We're feeling like that's where we are. We have long left the abundant life and instead have submitted ourselves to the ways that are contrary to the way of Jesus. Some of us this morning, we're not that extreme. We're just tired. We're just exhausted. Life has been really hard. And the prophetic word over us this morning, I believe, is that God is breathing new life into us. We're standing up as an army of people ready to mobilize, to step forward, and allow his breath of life to come into us. Then he said, "Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They're saying, we've become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. As we enter into the last half of this year, there's a lot of negative messages out there that are rattling our cages about the political circumstances, the health of our country. You and I have to decide, are we going to be those dry bones that have given up all hope, or do we have hope for the future? Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken." The Lord spoke through Ezekiel back then, and I believe the Lord is speaking to us this morning. See, some of you, you know exactly what I'm talking about when I'm talking about difficult circumstances. You're doing things like you've made decisions to push back against the difficulties of life, the hard things of life. You're taking steps. You're making moves to get from where you are to where you want to go. You have a preferred future in sight. You've got it in your view. You're taking tangible steps. Some of you, like, you are doing the hard work of addressing habits and lies and thoughts and actions. But that's just the start. You're going to have to dig deep. Because when we open ourselves up, when we say, I am willing to give up my life because I am living into the Jesus way, when we begin to say yes to Jesus, he's going to ask more than we ever imagined. The cost of giving up our lives is that we give up everything to follow Jesus. We've already talked in this series. We've talked about giving up our enemies. We've talked about giving up our, we called it a superiority, but like our self-righteousness. We've talked about giving up expectations, control, and now today it's giving up our very lives. This means like everything and anything, like our pride, our glory, all those things that make us think that because you either do them or are them, you're worthy of God's affection. There's more, though. There's sin that's become a nice little habit in your life. There's the guilt over that sin that you committed years and years ago. Still got a nest in your brain. It's time to clean that out, to give it all an eviction notice. The way of Jesus is not the easy way. It is the more difficult way. But the way of Jesus is how what he spoke to, which is that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Would you stand with me? Some of you have been following Jesus for a long time. Some of you maybe even aren't following him yet. But what I want you to know is that today might be the day that you would say yes to Jesus. The abundant life is yours just by a simple request, a simple statement to simply say, Jesus, I give you my life. It's as simple as that. There's a lot more that he's going to require. But that initial step of just surrendering your life to Jesus is the most powerful step forward you can ever take. And so I invite you to do that this morning. I am going to, I'm just gonna pray for a minute and allow you to have that conversation. For some of you, it is time to clean out the nest in your brain. It's time to take the hard steps forward, to say, I will give up my life, whatever that means for you. But freedom and joy are just on the other side. And so let me pray for us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm grateful for all of my friends here. And I'm grateful that you have come, that we would have abundant life, not just any old life, not just a mediocre life, but you've called us to an abundant life. But that abundant life means that we surrender all to you. And so for those in the house this morning who would say, Jesus, I give you my life for the very first time, Father, I pray that they would have courage to speak those words and to step into the life that you've called them to live. For those of us that have been misaligned, we've been discouraged, we are tired, we're exhausted. Life has been harder than we ever imagined it would be. God, would you encourage us with this word that these dry bones that we have, that we feel like we're dried up, we need nourishment, we need water, we need living water. Would you meet our needs this morning? You are here, you are powerful in this place. And I speak blessing and life and peace over all of us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Please rate and review us on Spotify and iTunes and join us again for next week's podcast. We love you and pray blessing and peace over you and your family.